Welcome to our episode on Udine, where Dan Cancian has just returned from. We've eaten our pasta here at Puglia in London Bridge, and now it's time for me to eat some cake while Dan tells me all about it. So how did you actually get there from London?
I flew into Venice from London Stansted, and I then took a coach from the airport in Venice to the station, Mestre, which is one of Venice's two main stations. And then I took the train from there, which a fast train takes you only 15 minutes to get to Padua. If you take the slow train, it's about half an hour, but still easy to reach. And then I decided to base myself there, but on Saturday morning, I was back on a train and off to Udine.
Did you have a 16-hour day from what you told me?
I did, yes. It was a very early start and a late finish, but that's what we do. And it was a great day. A train from Padua to Udine took me again through Venice. And then it was another 90 minutes on the train all the way up to Udine. The scenery is superb. It's basically a collection of rugby grounds in Veneto. Obviously, Veneto's got a proud rugby tradition.
It does, yes.
And then as you leave the plains of Veneto and the rugby grounds behind, you have the Alps in front of you. And it's just absolutely terrific scenery. You go through loads of towns that look Austrian more than Italian, so to speak.
More functional than Italian towns?
They look like. I wouldn't go as far as saying they are more functional, but they certainly do look more functional, like neater streets. Everything looks clean. Everything looks in its place. And Udine was, I've never been to Udine before, and it was an absolute gem and a true delight. The old town is fantastic. And you almost stumble on the old town by accident. You come out of the train station, all you got to do is walk in a straight line, and within 10 minutes you find yourself surrounded by some of the nicest architecture I've seen in a long time. Now, I'm not art expert, but it looks stunning to me.
Okay, well, jealous because I've never been to Udine. It was one of the trips I wanted to go on, but you're saying it's easily accessible.
Yeah.
Once you're there, the old town straight in front. How far away is the stadium, though?
The stadium is about 10 minutes cab ride or 15 to 20 minutes bus ride. Now, I hadn't accounted for the fact that schools are open on Saturday in Italy, of course. So I assumed I would be at the bus stop on my own or with fellow Udinese fans. Whereas instead I was surrounded by teenagers who just left school. It made for a somewhat interesting journey to the stadium.
Yeah, you forgot, but you did your primary schooling there.
I did, but I completely forgot schools were open on a Saturday.
Well, the game, you went to the game, you cover the game for us. Brilliant free kick from Zamuda in that
match. Oh, superb. And in fairness, as I wrote in my piece, which is Open Destination Culture, the game needed a bit of magic because it felt that it was lingering towards boring.
Well, it was a 3 p.m. kickoff, and I guess, is it still hot in that part of the world?
It wasn't particularly hot, no. It was quite fresh,
well,
which was
a
nice
kick.
Change. Yeah.
Okay, nice and fresh. It was fresh the week before in Bologna, but it seemed like the free kick was well worth the price of the admission.
Oh, it was. It was superb.
And you're up in the media stand. Good views from up there. You got some photos for us, which we'll put in the Blue Energy Stadium guide on the website.
The Blue Energy Stadium is a very different stadium from any other grounds that we've been to in Italy this season. It's an English stadium in the mould of the likes of the Amex in Brighton or the GTEC Brentford. Nice, compact, modern. Perhaps not your bare pit of a ground like the San Siro or, you know, even the Franchi or even the Tardini. But it's lovely, it's functional, and you get a great view from wherever you are, which is something not to take for granted in Italy.
That's important. The Pozzos have done good work.
They have.
Okay, so second day, you went to Padua.
I did.
Well, you actually went back from Blue Energy Stadium in Udine to Padua where you slept. 16-hour day.
Yeah.
That hurts. It's all about the love of culture.
It is.
So we thank you for your service. Padua the next day was the derby.
It was. It was a big derby, Padova and Vicenza, first against third in Serie C. Padova and Vicenza, there is no love lost between the two of them. Last season, Vicenza prevented Padova from getting back up to Serie B before their bid for promotion ended. And you could just feel the buzz in Padova throughout the day. There was lots of people with red and white scarves around. And it was a bit incongruous, I'll have to be honest, because Padova is Venice-light in a way. The buildings are majestic and you see a lot of high-end stuff like that. So it doesn't really scream football. But
And are there canals?
There are canals, yes. There aren't any tourists, as in Venice, but there is a big student population. And I was surprised to see a lot of foreign students going to the Euganeo for the derby. And the atmosphere in the city was brilliant, you know, it's a game for them. And Padova hadn't been in Serie A for 30 years. They've gone through financial turmoil, they went bankrupt. Now they're back on the coast, but hopefully for them being promoted to Serie B. So there was a sense of like a big event, a big fixture happening.
But they did win it. We saw your comprehensive match report, it's a YouTube short that we put out and also on Twitter. 1-0 for Padova. Decent game, I watched that. It was on FIFA Plus. You can watch that if you want to watch some Serie C action. FIFA Plus, if you've got a Calcio binge plan for the weekend.
Yeah, it was a decent game. I thought it was interesting how you had... the game was broadcast on three different channels in Italy. Some local joined me that they had Sky Italy in place at Euganeo, which obviously gets to a big occasion. And the game was a proper derby, a traditional. Lots of vitriol in the stands, on the pitch. But that's what you want, you know. You want a bit of emotion.
It is. The rain stopped here, by the way, but it was quite wet through Italy over the weekend. So did the rain affect it? Because I thought saw a lot of sunshine.
It was a lot of sunshine in Padua on
throughout
Sunday.
The game.
But it was, you know, it was very wet and it'd been raining for the previous 2 weeks. I think the headline on the local paper in Udine was "When it rains, it pours," and they were referring to the fact that Udinese had been battered by injuries. Udine had been battered by the rain.
Well, so they're back up in the top six now, aren't they?
And they are.
Padova's top of the table in Girone A, Group A of Serie C, the Italian third division. So well done to them. Vicenza, their sworn enemies, not getting the result that they wanted, but they did knock them out, as you said, in the Serie C playoffs last season. Let's wrap this up with a little teaser for something you got coming up. You've interviewed some of the Padova Ultras.
I have, yes. They were kind enough to speak to me. And we've got a big piece coming out about their boycott of home games, why they're boycotting it, the reasons.
Because that whole stand was empty, wasn't it?
The whole stand was empty. Vicenza had their Ultras in. They sold their allocation. It was 1,500 fans. Which is a big crowd for Serie C.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and as you said, the Ultras are cutting games this season, only home games. They still travel to follow their team away, but they're basically taking a stance against the club. They don't like stadiums. They haven't liked the stadium since they moved there 30 years ago.
Well, I don't think anyone would describe the Euganeo as one of their favourite stadiums on the planet, besides some hardcore Padova devout supporters.
Put it this way, Padova has two UNESCO World Heritage sites. I don't think the Euganeo is going to make it three anytime soon.
Well, they might need to get maybe the architects, the engineers that built the Bernabeu to come in and do something there. At the moment, it's concrete slabs behind there, which isn't even fit for Serie B, I believe, if they go up.
I do believe that they will need to get an exemption from Serie B. It's the concrete slabs are fitting because the Euganeo is a concrete monstrosity, to be brutally honest with you.
I think we'll leave it there, Dan. Yeah. Thanks for your service over the weekend.
Anytime.
Friuli and Veneto. We'll send you back for another trip soon. We're not traveling this week for the international break, but keep up to date on we've got the website up, we've got all the socials.
Yeah, we do, all the socials. It's all out there.
DestinationCulture.com. Yeah. And we're there. We're going.
We're going,
YouTube's going as well. You're probably watching this on there. Thank you
for
watching.
Thank
Dan, speak soon. From Puglia here in London.